Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So if you were here last week, you got blessed, right? You got the blessings, the Beatitudes. Been called that for centuries within the Holy Christian Church. And so, you were great, right? It was like, this is the pure gospel. Blessed are you. Yes, indeed. And then, that was the first 12 verses. If you weren't here last week, like, when you get home or later today, go back and read 1 through 12. But we have the second Sermon on the Mount. Or the second part, the second reading, it's all one sermon. And wait a minute now. Jesus has just blessed us, right? He's just told us, blessed. You know, when he goes through that litany, the peacemakers and those who mourn and on and on. And now he tells us we have to do something. Go figure. You're the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? People who cook know all about this, right? I've never had salt go bad, but I know that in biblical times, and I'm assuming now, and of course, probably most of us, our contact with salt is, well, like 2 weeks ago when it snowed a whole bunch here in Oklahoma, which up north in places like Minnesota and Wisconsin, they'd just say, well, it was a dusting of snow, but and in northern Ohio, probably too. But in Oklahoma, we're like, whoa, it's a blizzard.
Yep.
And I noticed in the parking lot, they had an area blocked off this morning as I drove in, and I'm like, what is that? It was still a pile of snow. Now, it was a small pile, but let me tell you, we got nothing on our neighbors to the north. My first wife was from west central Minnesota, and her father-in-law had a heart attack in 97, and they rushed him to the hospital in Fargo. That was about the last part of February. And so we jumped in the car and made the 10-hour trip up. And snow was so deep that year, and if you've got relatives up there, you know this, it was so deep that the city crew had gone around and dug out the stop signs and the sign, because the snow was covering them up. That's how deep it was. Our hotel had a little mountain, I called it. It was probably 40 foot high in the parking lot. And so, anyway, what's salt for? Well, besides fixing our roads when it gets icy, by the way, as the weather people here noted, salt doesn't work on your streets after about 20 degrees. So always keep that in mind. Oh, yeah, they salt it. Well, if it's 10 degrees, it might not matter. So what's Jesus doing now? He's just giving us great blessings. And so the gospel reading for this Sunday, the fifth Sunday of the Epiphany, sets the theme of the day. It is the second Epiphany reading from the Sermon on the Mount, as I told you before. And Jesus has just shared the Beatitudes, the blessings with the people. And now he gives us more to think about. His sermon for them on that day is also his sermon to us today. So are you ready for the Lord and what he would have us do? Realize these are commandments. These aren't suggestions. I've said that for years and years, that the Ten Commandments are just that. They're God's Ten Commandments. They're not God's Ten Suggestions. But modern-day Christianity would have a lot of us believe that, oh, well, you know, don't worry about that one. which harkens back, by the way, to the very words of Satan to Eve. Did God really say? And our answer is yes. Yes, he did. But now he asks us to do something. You are the salt of the earth. He gives us a reading, a belief, an understanding. We're the salt of the earth. And it is true law gospel. You know, a lot of people think wrongly that, well, it's the four gospels, right? So it's got to be all gospel. You can't have any law there. Wrong. Or they think, well, it's the Old Testament. That's, you know, even described by Jesus and others as the law. But guess what? Sprinkled throughout the Old Testament is gospel references, especially to the Messiah, to the coming one, to Jesus Christ. Not only are we the salt of the earth, he's told us that, you are the light of the world. Even politicians, I know President Reagan has used this, and I think a couple others that doesn't come to mind because I'm getting old and decrepit, but you know, don't hide your light under a basket. We are a city on a hill. You at Trinity Lutheran Church are in the midst of Norman, Oklahoma. You're the light for this town, for this area. And if we don't do it, as I've told, by the way, I'm the retired pastor at Emmanuel in Oklahoma City, as I've told the people at Emmanuel for years and years, if you don't tell your neighbors, if you don't tell your friends, who will? Who will? And so it's up to you to be salt and light, to go forth unto the world, to share Jesus Christ, God's Son. We are then, as his children, called to reflect that light and that salt. We are to be. And by the way, we'll talk about this a little in the Bible class here in a little bit, but Isaiah gives us a litany. He gives us a litany. Paul in Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. You know, I love your little sign on your door out here. No cash. No cash. No food. No food. Isn't there a third one?
No soliciting.
No soliciting. Boy, we could have used that at Emmanuel in my years there, but at 36th in Northwest 36th in Indiana, we had more than our share of folks come by, and we could have maybe used that in that message. But understand, too, when Jesus says, be the salt, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the earth, he's not talking about your salvation. Your salvation comes from believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Your salvation comes, as we say every Reformation Day, by faith alone. By faith alone. But yet that faith should guide us, direct us, to do what? To be God's representative, to be Jesus' representative here on earth. That's how we show our light and our salt. And again, as I said at the beginning, I've never had salt go bad. I've had it pack up quite a bit, and I'm guessing you have too. But ask yourself today, what keeps you from being that salt and that light? Now, I'll make a confession today. Having been pastor at Emmanuel 27 years, I began to lose my compassion because so many people would come to me, and everybody has a story, right? Everybody has a story. If you let them tell it, they will share their story with you, you know. And I'm reminded of country music when I was a kid, that where most of country music was what I called crying your beer songs. You know, but that's what happens. But the pressures of the world, especially now, it gets worse as time, as each of us gets older. But guess what? It's sin and Satan. When bad things happen to people, you know, this crime or that crime and this event, and it's always negative, and people are, well, we don't know why. Duh, we do. We do. We know why. There's sin and evil in the world. It all began with Adam and Eve when Eve believed the lie. Believed those words from the devil when he said to her, did God really say? And we hear that yet today. It's just in variations. You know, well, did God really say? And we really don't need, we're a New Testament church. We don't need the Old Testament. And I'm guessing Vickers got prophets at Fort Wayne, and we had some in our sim. The Old Testament prophets were livid when people would say that. And already, because Jesus himself quotes from the Old Testament, quotes about Jonah. Jesus tells us, therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And sadly, in America, we've got so-called Christian leaders that, to me, fill out verse 19. They say, oh, well, it doesn't mean this or it doesn't mean that. But also, as we sang in that beautiful sermon hymn, who is the source of our light? It is Jesus Christ. He's the source of our light and of our salt. As baptized children of God, we go forth then as one redeemed, renewed, uplifted, forgiven by the very blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the source of our light and our salt. John said it this way in his first chapter in verse 9. The true light that gives light to every man and woman was coming into the world. Jesus, the light of the world. And just as Jesus talks about here, we don't hide our light under a basket, and we in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, sometimes are guilty of that. You know, we enjoy being together, and we have that communion, as we'll have here with the Lord and with one another here in a little bit. But realizing that we live in a lost and dying world, lost and dying without Jesus Christ. There seems to be some revival now among young people, and I pray for that revival. I pray that people will understand. I remember a few months ago hearing a politician, giving a great gospel statement. I'll share with that. That's Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State. And I'm like, wow. That's the first time I've ever heard a politician actually proclaim the gospel. But he did. Not only are we lights to the world, but we're also lights to one another. And you show that by being here at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, maybe some of you are really early people. I used to be. I'm less now than I used to be. But I remember when I got up about 5 this morning and my phone says, well, rain's going to stop about 7. And I'm like, what rain? But lights to one another, to share the love of Jesus with one another, but also to share Jesus with those around us. And I'm going to guess if you've got family and friends or those at work, it's like, oh, here comes another sermon. Well, Yeah. I've always said the Holy Christian Church grew in the early centuries. How? not by the great preaching of Paul or other orators, but by one person telling one person about Jesus Christ. And you, like Emmanuel, are going through a time of transition. The pastor that you loved and cared for and who loved and cared for you has retired. God bless him in that retirement. But also understand now, at some point, God will say, this is the man I've chosen to replace Pastor Nairns. And as the members of Trinity, you have to go forth and let that person be that person. As the vicar will tell you, let each one be himself. Will he be Pastor Nairns? No. Will he be as good a preacher? We hope so. But you never know. You never know. But in today's gospel text, Jesus uses two common metaphors, salt and light. And just as many foods are made to taste better and do marvelous things with salt, and it's been used to preserve foods for thousands upon thousands of years. And oh, by the way, you probably had blood tests where they checked your salt. Our body needs some salt to survive, just as the world needs Jesus to survive. Dear friends in Christ, we keep our Christian saltiness when we do those things that Jesus would have us do. Isaiah 58, your Old Testament reading, gives us a good starting point in verse 7. Share your bread with the hungry. Take care of the homeless poor. Give clothing to those in need. And let your light shine forth like the dawn, and your righteousness shall go before you. Dear friends, we are the salt and light, and it's not an option. As his disciples, Jesus himself tells us, You are. And we follow his commands when we influence others around us by the salt of our actions and by the light of Christ that shines in our lives and radiates to others. For physical health, we need to maintain a low sodium diet. I'm sure your doctors have told you that. I know mine have. And for our own spiritual health, we need all the salt we can get. May our saltiness and our gospel lights shine every day that the Lord has given us on this earth. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which does transcend all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus this day and every day. Amen.